from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
Welcome to Postcard from Potbread. I feel wonderful this week. I don't know why. It's been snowing here, by the way, boys and girls. This is Postcard from Potbread. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, and it has been snowing. It's been lovely. My car was all white again. Hi to the guys over in America, in Spain, in wherever you happen to be. Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, just everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. Mustn't forget the breeze. And to all the new people that have joined us this week, lovely to have you with us. It's a sideways look at the news, I guess, really-ish, allegedly, rumoured. In England, it's Lee Bates.
It's me! I'm here!
Could you stop shouting?
I wasn't shouting, I was being enthusiastic, you cheeky monkey.
Was you really?
I was. I'm enthusiastic about life and death and everything to do with this wonderful world apart from the UK. I like Romanians, I like Polish people, I like Czech Republic people, I like Slovaks.
Thank you.
I hate English people.
What about Australians? How do you feel about Australians?
Today? Australians, they're all right. Once they let them all out of jail, everything will be fine.
This is jail, according to you.
Exactly. That's why we ship them all off over there.
Right.
You know, you're just English people with bad attitude.
I'll fade him down in a minute, Rach, don't worry. And down in Darwin, we've got the lovely Rachel Brunston.
Hello. I was going to go to the beach the other day because it actually stopped raining for a moment, but there was a big salty croc.
A big salty
crocodile sitting in the water off the ocean.
Rach,
quite a lot. There's Rach, jellyfish and crocs. So
Rach,
can't go to the beach.
Rach, we've been through this before. He don't understand salty crocs.
I do. I know what a salty croc is. It's when you've and it's that's that backpacking one that we told.
That's what I said to Uncle Eric. Yes, it's been in the Thames. It's been in Spain, it's been in the United States, and now it's back in Darwin,
where it came
from. You know what we should do?
No. You know what it really is?
Song by the Flaming Lips.
Oh, stop it. You know what it really is? It's Nessie on holiday.
It isn't. What we need to do, Eric, and you're the person who can do this, you know how you were going to send me an RTI flag to put on the roof of my house?
Oh, flip,
yeah. Which I've been waiting 18 months for.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You should send that crocodile an RTI T-shirt.
We could do that.
And it could photograph.
You know what we can do? Because Eric's the tech guru. Right. Let's get a hold of it somehow.
Sorry,
and
Rachel.
Put an RTI GPS on it.
Yes, we could do that, RTI GPS. Anyway, we're supposed to be doing news.
Oh, yeah.
Doing news about a crocodile in Darwin that's just come across from England and the fact that I hate English people. That's news. There's not many English people
Lee, listen to last week's programme, the one before. Mm-hmm. You will find there is a constant theme throughout.
That I hate English people?
Yes.
I do. I can't stand them.
So it's not news then. Anyway, let's move on. Sad, we've lost somebody this week. We normally start off with the people that have gone to a greater plane. And sadly, and I do say sadly, which is going to be a bit of a shock to some people, we've lost the lovely Jocelyn Hayes. And Jocelyn Hayes was the person who put together the voice of the listener and viewer. And most people consider her to be one of those blue rinse, whinging old ladies who complains about everything. And in actual fact, she wasn't. She was the opposite of... Who was that woman who we had in the 60s in England, Lee?
Oh, I know who you mean. I can't remember her. Whitehouse. Mary Whitehouse.
Mary Whingehouse.
Mary Whingehouse, another English person.
Yeah, did nothing but whinge, Rach.
Middle-class, oiky idiot.
She was an oity-toity idiot.
Yeah.
But the voice of the listener was really into public service broadcasting.
She was, and she was a good egg. She did She never did anything, really, that changed the world, though, because Radio 4, particularly, were too big for her to actually take on and convince that what they were doing was ridiculous.
Well, no, she did. She did win in the end, because Lord Paterson...
listen to Radio 4?
Not recently, no, I've given up on it. but she did stand up for, you know, the public service broadcasting side. Public service broadcasting should not have adverts on it, as they do here in Slovakia and America and just about everywhere else. And she's absolutely right that, you know, things shouldn't have been done the way they were. And she did actually win quite a lot because she got people talking. She didn't necessarily get it... the thing through by herself, but she did get the debate going, and that was nice. Yeah, good luck to her.
I agree, but the thing is, when you say that public broadcasting shouldn't carry ads, the basic objection to that is that the advertisers will control the content.
Not true.
Isn't it right?
Not true.
Yeah, well, it isn't, absolutely. But what we have with the BBC, who we all have to pay a licence fee to, whether we listen to it or whether we're involved with it or not, is the fact that the BBC controls the BBC, and that is middle-class, oiky, idiotic English people who are doing nothing but broadcast middle-class, oiky, stupid stuff.
Lee?
Yes, dear.
Lee?
Yes, dear.
There is what is known in the UK... as their listener groups or listener committees or whatever.
Yes.
And nobody applies to go on them.
Except middle-class oiky people.
I say no more. Nobody applies to go on them. Nobody goes out. They all moan about the BBC, but when there's an opportunity...
And nobody will do anything.
Correct.
Now, exactly, Rachel.
And that's why I say, if you don't vote, you can't complain about the government. If you don't
vote with your remote. Well, you know, this is the thing I always say. I had some English people staying with me a couple of years ago, and I was actually unaware that you guys don't have compulsory voting where we do. And they were moaning about the government, and I said, do you vote? And they said no, and I said, well, then you need to just shush.
Yes.
Because unless you vote, you've got no reason and no right to moan about anything, really.
I think you have. I think you have. I think that is completely the wrong attitude to take towards your vote.
Let's have a vote on this. All those in favour of saying, if you don't vote, you can't win, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yeah, those against the motion.
Yeah, but there you have two ayes.
Yeah, okay, the ayes have it.
The ayes have it. The ayes have it.
There you have two eyes, and I'm the one who knows, right? The simple fact is that if you live in a democracy and you have a right to vote, and you have not, and you do not agree with the political system that is being presented to you, then you also have a right not to vote for somebody you don't want to vote for in the first place.
No, you also do. That's true, but you also have you have a responsibility to your community to actively partake in the politics and vote.
But if you can't agree, you can't agree with the politics that are being presented to you.
Don't vote, informal vote. Do what I do.
Hang on, I want to hear what she's saying. Go on, what's a donkey vote?
Hang on. If you think that you are in a majority who don't vote because they can't find who they want to vote for...
I don't think I'm in a majority. I think I'm in a minority.
How much of a minority? 1%? 2%?
Well, there's me and Russell Brand, I think, basically. Me and Russell Brand. And the simple fact is, but why it is a dictatorship to force you to vote for somebody you do not wish to vote for. I have no respect for...
any politician.
Any politician, yeah.
That's not what they're asking you to do. Okay, when the last election, I didn't want to vote for Tony Abbott. There are reasons why, and we'll come to those later in the show, because there are stories about him and his shenanigans. Yeah. However... The alternative wasn't any good either, and I knew they were going to lose. So what I did was I walked into that little booth and I got my little piece of paper, and we still write on the pieces of paper here in Australia, not like America where it's electronic. We write on the piece of paper. I drew a picture of a unicorn with a rainbow coming from its buttocks region
and said,
I vote for the unicorn pooping a rainbow.
Yes. And that's I rest my case.
That's what, no,
I rest
that's
my
what,
case.
That's what, no,
no. That's what's called an informal vote. I got my name ticked off the register because if I didn't, I was going to get fined because it's compulsory for it to do so. And I had no opinion one way or the other about who the candidates were in my electorate. So I didn't want to give a vote to either one of them. So I thought the unicorn had a really good chance. Sadly, he lost.
I obeyed the law by going and doing it.
All these people that whinge about the political system's wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong. It's simple. Stump up a few quid and go and stand in the election.
Me and Russell Brand are.
Our stupid electoral system got it. We inherited it from you plonkers. So,
exactly.
Don't count me in it. I don't live there.
You don't live there anymore. You got out of there. Yes. But Lee, who hates English people, totally understands what I'm saying.
Yes, but my point is, if you don't agree with the political system, get yourself a few bob together, stand as a candidate, and see how many people vote for your idea of politics.
I agree with you, but I also do not see voting for a unicorn as any different than not bothering to vote at all.
I thought you were going to say voting for a unicorn was the same as voting for you.
If I didn't vote for the unicorn, if I didn't vote for the unicorn in this country, my name's on a list, as is everybody else who has to vote. And if I didn't vote for the unicorn, I didn't have to turn up and vote for the unicorn. I could have turned up and just said nothing on the ballot. But I have to get my name ticked off. Otherwise, I'm going to get fined.
Let's move on, boys and girls. Let's move on. This beggars me belief. Guns? Yes. Marmite? No. How pathetic is that? A shipment of Marmite and Iron Brew, as it goes, which was supposed to go to a British food shop in Canada, has been seized by the local customs officials in a crackdown on banned additives.
Thing is, with Marmite, you either love it or hate it, don't you?
Yes, that's what.
Let's take an example. Let's say I had three jars of Marmite and there's a target 50 feet away, and somebody who is a pretty good shot with a gun is 50 feet away from his target.
Yes.
Who's going to do the most damage to that target?
I think it's going to be the gun, I think. Yes.
Right. So, you know, why? And you know what? They're part of the Commonwealth, so... Why again?
Well, apparently it's something to do with a food colourant that...
Black?
Probably.
Is it a racist thing?
I don't know. Apparently it's something to do with some food colourant which is being removed voluntarily from its European recipe. And it was asked to be removed by the UK food standards. Mm-hmm. And because of all this... and there's a claim. How long's Marmite been on the market?
Don't know. Lots and lots of time. What's it made of?
Yeast-based stuff. Yes. And tart.
Yeah, right.
I thought it was made of moo cows.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Oh, that's Bovril.
Yes. Apparently...
This has also been seized.
Apparently, all of a sudden, the reason why the UK Food Standards Agency got them to take this stuff out of the recipe is because, all of a sudden, it's created hyperactive kids.
Well,
now, why didn't it do that in the 50s and 60s?
Because they didn't know about hyperactivity in children back then. And also, hyperactivity is usually to do with sugar content in things. And they didn't know that this Ponzi U4R, that wasn't a description of the English, by the way, Ponzi U.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. Yeah. They didn't realise that kind of thing would actually have this hyperactivity effect.
Lee,
and if in fact,
question.
What?
Question.
What?
In the 1950s and 60s and even the 70s, there was not this big thing about hyperactivity in sugar.
No.
Hello? Guess what my mother put me on when I was 3 years old?
What sugar?
The Scarsdale diet. What's everybody that? Remember the Scarsdale diet?
No. Nope.
Scarsdale diet was when your child was three or two and it had the terrible twos or threes and you didn't know, quite know what to do. Of course, the first thing to do back in the 70s was to run to the GP. So the GP put me on the Scarsdale diet at three, saying I was hyperactive. Now, in hindsight, now that I'm a grown up with bipolar disorder, probably no bad call on my mother's part, but still, it... Like even strawberries, not natural foods like strawberries were off limits. They let you eat cardboard, basically. Mm. But it was the thing to do. It was in the 60s, 70s, it was the thing to do to diagnose your child as hyperactive as it is now. And I'm not, I don't want to get into the argument about ADHD.
No, no.
But it's the same thing, you know, surely, it's coming out now.
Surely ADHD, our diets naturally were full of sugars back then, which they're not now. So this doesn't make sense anyway.
Well, yeah, but it does make sense in one way. We have to accept that the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, right, have certain laws to adhere to, and that's all they were doing. They, you know, they also seized Lucozade, Penguin Bars and Bovril. Mm. And the simple fact that amazed me with this that nobody else has picked up on is the fact that the greatest hangover cures in this world, and Canadians are known very well for their excessive abuse of alcohol, mm-hmm. as a nation, not as in, well, yeah. And the best cures are Iron Brew, Lucozade, and Bovril and Marmite.
Let's just actually.
Do you know? I was told
the mayor of Toronto.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And his latest antics, saying that he was smoking crack and procuring the services of prostitutes.
I think he's just cracked.
He was probably on one of his alcohol benders at the time. I bet you he would refute this study and sure probably offer everybody a pipe.
Probably.
He's a funny chap, he is.
Anyway, let's move on. Because I have a question. Lee!
Yes, dear?
Why were you late for work?
Because I'm just lazy.
No, you're not reading the
script. I am. I thought you were going to tell me. All right, then it was because of concrete.
Lee, you're fired.
I never understood that when I first read it.
Allegedly, well, no, I've seen the pictures. Some numpties allowed concrete to pour in the London Underground, meaning that the Victoria line was shut between a couple of stations, and it created chaos. Absolutely.
Hang on, wait, stop for a minute, you guys.
Yes.
Give us who don't know what this means. A visual. Is this a tunnel?
What do you mean?
It's in a signal box.
Is it an underground railway thing?
Yes.
Yes.
And there was concrete poured into the underground railway.
Well, the signal bit, where all the electrics are.
They accidentally filled the signal box with concrete, which is quite particularly. See, if you think. The way I look at this is that British Rail and similar companies complain to say, we can't run our trains today because there's a leaf on the line. Look at that leaf. We can't have a train going across that. And then they'll say, oh, because it's snowing. And all sorts of things. So now they've actually come up with a new one for trains being late and not arriving at all. It's sorry, we've got a signal box full of concrete.
Yeah.
What a load of rubbish.
And not only that, they lied at the beginning. They said, sorry, the train's not running on platform 2 because of flooding. You little porky pie person.
Well, actually, it was flooded by concrete.
The flooding of concrete into the city. So it wasn't a lie as much as they started with the wrong information.
Right.
British Rail and the English Rail
System. No, it's not British Rail, Lee. It's London Transport.
I know, I'm talking, I did say, and all the rest of them,
all right.
Right, are absolutely ridiculous. As a very, very, very brief aside, because Eric knows this story, I once took a train to London, which broke down on the way, so they delivered another one, which then we got on, and we were 2 hours late for our appointment by that time, It broke down. So anyway, eventually, 4 hours later, we arrived in London. It's an hour journey. We got on the train to come back. It broke down. And we had to wait for another train to pick us up. So we got a free ticket. We complained and we got a free ticket to go anywhere in Britain so that they could prove that British Rail... To show that actually the trains were reliable and worked properly, which is what you generally would do with a journalist, isn't it?
Yes.
So we got on the train to the Granite City, which was 400 miles away from us, and half an hour into the journey, it broke down.
Oh, marvellous. Actually, I've got a more scary one for you.
Ooh.
I don't use public transport very much, but one day I was coming down from Manchester back to London on a Virgin train, and the lights kept going out. And I said to this geezer who was wandering around looking like he was working there, can't you get the lights fixed, mate? And he said, yeah, I'll fix it in a minute. And I need to go to the bathroom. And I walked out and I saw this bloke shoving a tea towel, a damp tea towel, into the fuse override box that was up on the side of the carriage, the trip switch thing, and forcing it into an electrical socket. You know, the
a wet tea towel.
Yeah. And I've gone.
Was he trying to perm his hair?
I couldn't help myself. I said, excuse me, don't you know the basic laws of physics and, you know, electricity and water? And he went, sorry?
Yeah, you will be.
Yeah, and I said, you do that, and there is a fault in here, this train will catch fire. And he went, nah, I'll be all right. And I just couldn't be bothered. So I wrote to Richard Branson, and again, like you, Lee, I got a free ticket and an apology.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what? The trains here are pretty good, but at the moment we've had so much of that monsoonal rain that half the tracks coming from down south have actually washed away. So the supermarkets are looking a bit empty.
Oh, whoops.
And remember when I was in Gladstone at the beginning of the year and we had the flood there and the supermarkets were empty because the trucks couldn't get in?
Mm-hmm.
It's looking a little bit like that because we've got a massive monsoonal low coming tonight. And so these tracks have washed away. But the thing is, it's not the food that's been affected so much, it's the booze and the smoke. So people who like their smokes and booze, there's going to be havoc. There's going to be hell.
Okay, I have one message.
You're not going to get your hands on a lettuce, but if you can't get your smokes in your Jim Beam, there is trouble. Going to be
I have a message for both the Australian system and the English system. And it's a quote that we had not long ago here in Slovakia when it was about 2 metres worth of snow around. And the Minister of Transport publicly apologised because some trains were about 30 minutes late. Mm. With 2 metres of snow.
I know, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, can I give a message to our train gurus, Richard Branson?
You're going to.
Everything. Whoever is listening who runs our train service, would you tell all the people at the top it's time to pack it in and retire and buy yourselves all a Hornby 00 and put it in your attics and play with that instead?
I think you're right.
For those in Australia, there's a wet season up here in the Northern Territory every single year.
Yes.
So you can't figure out how to get by that with the logistics of it happening every single year, then you all need to be fired and we need to build a great big bridge.
Thank you.
That's it. That's exactly, fire the whole world.
Exactly. That's what they do here. They plan for the winter because they know they're going to get snow. Not a problem. Arnie's been good old Arnie Schwarzenegger. I love this story. He's gone undercover.
Yes.
<He's> undercover.
And I've never seen, it's the worst disguise I've ever seen anywhere on the planet.
It goes with his worst acting we've ever seen on the planet.
Flipping Nora.
Yeah,
and this woman goes,
divided husband. Yeah.
And he's doing a good, I mean, actually, he's doing a good, really good thing because he's trying to promote, you know, fitness in schools and all this sort of thing to get kids fitter rather than becoming obese. And that's a very good thing. But this woman turns around and goes, he looked familiar. Like, you know, he's been on more TV screens than I've had hot dinners.
Yeah, but not for a long time. Like, I mean, he's been in politics longer. The youngers wouldn't know him from when we remember him. And I think he's sort of more known for his physical activity, you know, in a horizontal sense lately than he is, you know, standing up.
But he's been a government personage and been on the telly all over the place campaigning and all sorts. and they didn't realise it was him. And they put a hidden, they got this hidden camera in the gym and they caught this one. How silly.
So they didn't need to disguise him at all, really.
Not really, no. But anyway, I think it's a good cause, Arnie. I think it's a good cause. But
I think there is something that you need to clear up, Eric, about what you said. You need to explain who this Nora is that he's been flipping.
No, I won't. I'm not going there. Because we move on to the high spot of the entertainment section. Baby Bieber busted.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, now, I happen to be an expert on this because you guys have spoken to my child.
Yes, go on then.
I was actually awake at about 1:30 odd this morning when this story broke that Justin Bieber had been arrested in Malibu.
Right.
He's only just broke in Australia.
This is like almost 24 hours ago this broke. I was awake yesterday.
A long time ago.
Yeah, almost 24 hours ago it broke, and I happened to be awake when it broke. And I saw that he had been arrested for DUI, driving with an expired license, driving under the influence of drugs, prescription medication, and then he, F-bombed the police several times, and he was drag racing in his yellow Lamborghini, as you do.
Yes.
When you're in Miami. Now, the night before he dropped 75,000 K at a strip club, so bless him, but he's gotten arrested, and he cried in the middle of the hearing. I think it scared him a little. He got $2,500 bond and was released.
Yes.
The thing that frightens me about this was that the minute it happened, there were spoof and whatnot Bieber things coming to me on my wall on Facebook, left, right and centre, because they know that my daughter is a quote-unquote believer.
Uh-oh.
And she's mortified that this has happened to him. But the thing about it is that he's nothing much is going to come of it. What concerns me about, and I mean, his antics in the last couple of years have been particularly disturbing, including his behaviour in South America and in Australia, where he was, caught graffiti things and abusing women at poolsides in Western Australia, saying that they should be on the Big Loser and all this kind of stuff. What concerns me about this is that he's a 19-year-old kid with a lot of money and nobody's saying no to him, for one. Two, he is in a machine where people are around him who can only profit by keeping him working.
Correct.
So he's been on the road and been working for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he is clearly exhausted. He was it turns out he was actually diagnosed with depression about 5 months ago.
Mm.
And he should be able to have a rest,
Rachel.
Rach,
because we're running out of time. Yes. The summary is he's Bieber institutionalised.
Yeah.
Well, there's something else that's just come out on him saying that Bieber's going to be on MTV Unplugged. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the only time he should be unplugged is when he's on a life support system.
And that's the end of Postcard from Pop Brad for part one, boys and girls. We'll see you right after these very important messages.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.